Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Jeffrey Wright and Company. My name is Jeffrey Wright. You can follow me on Twitter, on X, at JWright929ESPN. As always, you can listen on the radio dial 92.9 FM or 680 AM. But if you're away from the radio, you can stay up to date with everything happening here at the station by downloading the Odyssey app. Free to download, free to listen. You can stream anytime, anywhere. You can even listen on demand. George Ruggiero is the producer of the program. You can follow him on Twitter, on X, at KingGeorge94. George, good day, sir.
Happy Monday, everyone. How are you guys doing?
Happy Monday, as George is sitting in for hours number 4 and 5 on the, or I should say, in the producer's booth. My company, as he is each and every Monday, he's the head coach and the team director of Team Thad of the Nike EYBL circuit. Follow him on all socials at Dream Big Herd. Coach Herd, good day, sir.
Man, happy Monday. Pretty good sports weekend, okay.
So, I actually thought it was a good sports weekend with sports you don't care about. You know what I mean? Like, it's like if they were kind of the niche sports, but they were actually pretty good. Like, the college baseball regionals were kind of chaotic. That's not going to be a big draw for a lot of people. We had drama in the college softball. Yesterday, we had a great tennis match between Blake Shelton and Carlos Alcaraz. The F1 race had literally the sport's biggest star bait someone into trying to pass him so that he could almost wreck him off the court, off the track, which was
bananas.
Objectively yeah. Sick. It was awesome, but you know, kind of frowned upon. Seems like even Max knew afterwards. Like, I should not have done that. But like,
He didn't talk about it either.
I guess somebody got a hold of him because he even afterwards said, like, yeah, I probably shouldn't have done that.
I'm not in race car like y'all, so. Yeah. Was this like a Draymond Green driver where he got right to the line that he probably shouldn't have?
So the only difference is
if Draymond was the best player in the league.
Correct. Like, imagine if Draymond were as good as he thinks he is.
It's like Giannis or something.
Yeah, or if just Draymond was as good as Steph is.
Yeah, that's the same level, right?
It's the same level of...
And then decided to punch someone in the face on the court, not in practice.
Correct, in front of everyone to see, in the middle of a game.
What Jordan used to do in practice if he did in the game.
Well, and in fairness, Draymond does it in practice too.
Yeah. Yeah, but y'all said the best player.
Right, exactly. Yeah. There's actually a lot of similarities between Jordan and Max Verstappen, where like they both are insanely gifted, but they're also probably psychopaths.
That's fair.
That kind of would have looked greatness, though.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's fair to say part of the reason like why Max Verstappen is what he is because he's
a bit crazy.
He's kind of a psychopath. But like, he's always kind of teetered on seeing red in real time. But like yesterday, like, he went all in.
Yeah, he just did it.
And it was kind of electric. Like, it was one of those ones where you're like, I'm glad nobody got hurt because like they are driving basically like death weapons. Yeah. Like they're driving like border, like hybrid rockets, if you will.
Yeah.
So like that could have been bad, but it wasn't bad, and I am someone that can go, well, it wasn't that bad, so that was kind of awesome. Like I can,
at least it wasn't a high speed corner.
Correct. Like
it, oh, if it was, whew.
Yeah, like
I get that's where the average fan like me probably like, huh? Because although he's also
is he supposed to do that,
you can no, kind of like, well, like get hurt like, or die, right?
Oh yeah, it, no, that was kind of
yeah, yeah.
He picked the appropriate, like they were kind of coming off of a restart, so it wasn't like. In the middle of the well, it kind of was in the middle, but it was after a turn, and like it was the type of turn where everyone kind of had to brake and slow down.
Okay,
so he wasn't like at the top speed, and like allowing for the bumper cars, like, but it was something.
It was sound bananas.
It, especially in real time with how all the lead up, the context also made it like that much more insane.
Well, and you had on the broadcast, you had a former champion basically going like, that's not his fault. And so that kind of diffused the situation at first. And then you saw the replays. You're like, no, that was his fault.
Well, no. What? Because, wait, which one? You were watching the ESPN one, right? Where they're pulling Rosberg.
So Rosberg basically says at first, like, he shouldn't be blamed for this because the other guy started it. And then they showed the other replay. He's like, well, you can't do that.
Exactly. That's the thing. At first, he was like, probably not cool. And then he looks back, he's like, oh, that's really not cool.
Yeah. So that was something. But it was, in terms of like the stuff we actually care about, I mean, how deep into game six did you think the Knicks had a chance?
First, before you say stuff that we don't care about, y'all have excited me about this to the point that I'm going to have to get a little more into this because y'all are veterans now at different sports, but I'm a kind of one of them sports guys, like, just to be transparent, I'm a Yankee guy, but I really don't watch baseball until the Yankees having a good year or they make the playoffs.
Yeah, sure.
And so outside of that, I'm that weird guy that after the NBA finals and NBA free agency, I kind of get a little out of it until the first football, college football game. I mean, that month. You get what I mean?
Totally fair. Yeah.
I would say you are reflective of the sports viewing audience.
Yeah.
There's a reason why, like, a lot of the big name sports media people, they just take off all of July and August.
So they do.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. But it sounds like if I was to get more into baseball year round, race car, because y'all just made that sound exciting, and others. You know, sports.
You have to be a junkie. Yes. But there's stuff to get into. And especially if you start betting, you can really get into it. I got into women's golf yesterday.
Now, speaking of betting, the average Joe that I know, not even as good as Jeffrey, like guys in my barbershop that I know, don't even know, these guys have became betting on rugby. They be look at my lid.
All of a sudden, guys are talking soccer.
And soon they win, they love that sport. I'm like, hold on, you don't even. We went to a school in the inner city. We didn't have a rugby at our high school. It ain't like you went to.
Yeah, but they like winners.
They like making money. That's
exactly.
Yeah. So,
I mean, Maya Stark has a fan in me for the rest of her life. Literally, like, no reason. Like, I'm sitting around yesterday. They're playing the Women's U.S. Open at a golf course that I've played. And so I was like, all right, I kind of want to see, like, I've played it, see if it still kind of looks the exact same. And I'm watching it, and everybody else around her is just kind of, like, throwing up on themselves. And she was, like, plus 300 to win, and she had a two-shot lead. I was like, yeah, I'm just going to pick her. And it came home. But, like, I'm now at the point where it's like, thank you. I'll root for you for a while now.
And see, with that, I like every sport, but it's just, like, I like tennis when it's, like, a big story or somebody on the come up. You know, golf.
Well, that's kind of why. So yesterday we have Ben Shelton. Blake Shelton, also American, but a very different, So Ben is actually a cool story in that Ben's parents were high level tennis players, but Ben wanted to play other sports. Like, he was a quarterback in high school.
Noah type.
Yeah. Like, he was, except imagine if Joakim's mom wasn't a Swedish model, but she was like a Swedish tennis player.
Like the dad. Yeah,
correct. So both his parents were high-level tennis players. And so he's kind of like, I don't really want to play tennis. But then finally, like, someone did the math, like, hey, you're really good at this. And he's playing Carlos Alcaraz, who's the Spanish three-time. Like, he's kind of new.
He's awesome, though.
New Rafa Nadal, but they play different games. But they're very much, it's like two young phenoms that hit the ball really hard. And they were just going back and forth yesterday, back and forth. And, like, that was actually fun to watch because it was just, like, them.
One of them.
It was just nothing but, like, winners. Like, nobody was breaking the other guy. It was just, like, how hard can I hit it and see if you can do anything with it.
You got to have some real, when two tennis players go at it and they hitting wide and you got to keep sprinting, backhanding, that thing can get intense.
Each guy was hitting 130-mile-an-hour serves.
Oh, yeah, you got to be in some real shape for that. I actually like tennis, too. Like, my daughter, I have put her in some tennis classes. And we're doing some more this summer. And, you know, kids these days, she, Jeff, for a long, like when she was younger, I don't want to do, you never tried it. So I had to go watch the, what was the movie came out a few years ago? I had to take her to see this to convince her with a Williams sister, King George.
Oh, King Richard.
King Richard.
Yeah. Yeah. At first I thought you said you took her to Challengers. And I was like, I would not have taken her to that one.
No, I took her to see King George. So she could see the young girls. And
King Richard's a lot better than taking her to see Challengers.
Challengers
was the one with Zendaya and the kid that plays Charles on The Crown.
Oh, okay, okay.
And it's basically...
Was that like a romance movie type deal?
I
would say a
that.
Lust movie.
I didn't watch it, clearly.
There's like a threesome involved. I was like, wow.
Nah, we done went to a couple movies that said PG-13.
Yeah.
And if it's too much kids, we done left. I don't care if it's getting the other movie. I got an 8-9-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
We not finna get into all that. We not. But back to your Knicks thing, though. The Knicks did play hard most of that game. They started off, you know, it's always a good game when somebody who don't supposed to be scoring a lot gets hot. So
yeah.
Like, oh, I know my stars are. So the center from the Knicks started off, I don't know if you saw it from the beginning, but he was getting and ones and kind of dominating.
Mitchell?
Started out first quarter goonish. And I felt like Knicks was pushing it, but I did feel like at some point, man, the way that Pacers' energy, the way they're just sold-out crowd, and the way they play so fast and with energy.
I thought they ran them down.
Yeah, at some point that, like, OG Anunoby is my kid, right? When I say my kid, he's grown now, but, you know, like, LeBron came through our program. Thibodeau, I think, is one of the best coaches ever, but some coaches do this, even they did it in Toronto. Man, you got six people playing 40 minutes. That's going to be hard against them Pacers. The Pacers, they said, played 11 people yesterday, and that was outside of the lottery pick board being hurt. That's the only reason Thomas Bryant, they hit the three threes that was in the doghouse.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Thomas Bryant.
Mm-hmm. That's the only reason he played. He had been in the doghouse. Jaren Howard, I think, is the one who got hurt, they lottery pick. He didn't play yesterday. Now, you even got a guy like Thomas Bryant coming in. I think he hit three threes, and two of them kind of broke the game open. So, when you got that type of stuff going on in the team to play hard and fast and multiple guys, even you know it's bad.
They had seven guys in double figures.
The pace.
Yeah.
You know it's bad when NBA guys, 80% of them, or even middle school superstars are about themselves. A starter came out, somebody told me, Michael Bridges, a game or two ago, and was like, can we use the bench? Like, they never want to give up their time, but that lets you know how fast-paced, how much wear and tear is going on this series.
Well, I think also it didn't help that in game five, like when the Knicks had their back against the wall, like they went all out trying to win game five. And the Pacers kind of, in the second half, are like, all right, let's kind of pack it up and we'll get them in game six. But then you start to see the decision that they made. It's like they had more in their tank. And I definitely think, though, one of the bigger stories, I feel like now, I don't even think it's like of these playoffs. I think it's clearly this is where the NBA is headed, because I don't think you can just build around, basically say we've got three guys and we can have just basically league minimum guys around them. It's all about depth. And like, to me, it's not really a surprise when you actually, like, if you take a step back and you just look at the form of the two teams that are still standing, it kind of makes sense. The Thunder have clearly had the best depth of anyone in the West. They've been the best team in the West. They've not really suffered a lot of injury concerns, at least throughout the playoffs. Like, they've had some guys get banged up during the year. Hartenstein missed time. Chet, I think, missed some time. Like, they've had guys miss time, but not really in the playoffs. They've largely been healthy here. And kind of the same thing with the Pacers. Like, yeah, Neesmith, right? Neesmith took the knee in the ankle.
Yeah, that was Aaron Neesmith.
So Neesmith has the ankle, but like didn't, I don't think he missed a game.
No, it was a game time decision for game 5, I think it was, and he ended up playing.
And then if you look at since January 1, these are the two teams that have won the most basketball games. And so it's one of those things where entering into the playoffs, you didn't think the Pacers were going to be here. You did think the Thunder were going to be here. But if you kind of like track it on how everyone's playing, who's healthy, these are the two teams that I think probably deserve to be here.
So let me ask you this, Dan, Jeff, because I'm a big basketball guy. You're a big basketball guy. We work with a lot of big we watch ESPN and different stations. I know we're tracking it now, but no one talked about the Pacers, though, being
I think it's because Boston, you had two clear dominant stories. Boston going for the title again with largely everyone back. And so everyone just kind of put them a tier up. And then you had the Cavs that had won so many games with better star power. Those two teams kind of dominated. And then the Pacers, not as much as the Knicks did. The Knicks kind of had a lot of the similarities with the Grizzlies where they would beat up on the teams that were either even with them or below. But the teams above them, they did not have a great record against. And I think the Pacers just kind of, because they had a poor start to the season. And the way that I think everyone just kind of thought it's either going to be Boston or Cleveland. And for the Pacers or the Knicks to get to the finals, they thought, well, you have to beat both of them. Mm-hmm. And it didn't end up working out that way. But I think that's kind of why everyone just kind of dismissed everything else. But I think, I actually think if you want to talk about lessons learned, at least from a thinking about the league perspective, I don't really care how people are going to talk about it. I think basketball's really getting closer and closer to year than it has before. Just because, like, you look at, I think we're so conditioned in the NBA of these are the best teams and they're going to be the best teams at the end. It just feels like to me, you start to see it like the Pacers, yeah, they got to the Eastern Conference Finals last year, but it felt kind of fluky, whereas this year it didn't feel fluky. Like they earned their way here. But you just start to realize, like, being good in the regular season, being good in the playoffs, they're not really the same thing. And then on top of that, getting through a playoff run, you're going to need, like, injury luck. And so I think you can spend the whole year thinking this team's not a contender, but if you look up in April and you recognize that they're healthy and they're playing well, which the Pacers are, like, you should probably take them seriously.
No, I agree with that. Like you said, you had the Cavs in Boston, but I even remember – Jeff, I felt like people had the Knicks and even Milwaukee ahead of them all year too far as people
Star power.
Yeah, exactly, who they thought that was going to go. Now, this is one thing I do give the West. Although OKC is that good, this one team that I'm going to always be scared of will be here every year, OKC could have easily lost against Denver.
They were down, what, 10 in the fourth quarter of Game 5, or maybe it was 8?
Yeah, Denver, to me, Jokic, unlike, I know it ain't about stars no more, but he's still one of the few people because he's doing so many different categories, and he's like, I mean, he had some 20, 30, 15, just some crazy stuff. I feel like Denver is going to still be there for the next few years. And it's about matchups, too, because I think the Pacers are the best team right now, I could have easily seen, because some people are scared of matches, I could have easily seen maybe if they played Boston, it didn't go the right way or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if Tatum doesn't get hurt.
But by the time who did they play?
So the Celtics lost to the Knicks in the second round.
Yeah, I ain't going to lie, even before Tatum got hurt, they was kicking.
Well, though, I mean, when Tatum got hurt, like that's the other
thing. That game was over.
Boston's done this revisionist history where the injuries are what changed the series. And it's like, y'all were about to go down 3-1, and then he pops his Achilles. Yeah. I'm not saying, like, the Achilles is a nothing
burger.
It was
at the end of the game.
But it was 3-1, and they had just taken control of the game. Like, they went up 9 with 90 seconds left. Like, I'm with you. Okay, this is the other thing I want to talk about, because this guy's your boy. My overreaction to the weekend is SGA is truly having a historic run, but I cannot figure out why, but it doesn't feel like it. Here are a couple things. You ready? He could become only the third player in NBA history to win the scoring title, the league MVP, and finals MVP in the same season. There have been two other players to do it. Jordan did it four times. Shaq did it once. So LeBron hasn't done this. Wilt hasn't done this. Kareem has not done this. This is insane rarefied air.
Did I hear you wrong? Jordan did it how many times?
Four. There have been two guys to do it. Shaq did it once. Jordan did it four times.
But it had been done five times.
Correct.
One guy did it four.
Correct.
Boy, I would love to do group projects with him.
Yeah. You got it, big guy. Here's the ball.
I think, Jeff, I know me and you go back and forth texting, playing, and you're not the only one. I got a few other people who sometimes feel like in the playoff he wasn't as great. I do think he's doing some big boy stuff. Maybe it don't look as dominant in 2025 because he do have a team and they deep or whatever, but he do be, I mean, like, he will have some, he did have some subpar games the times that you, but as the play, I just thought, I'm going to be real with you, he couldn't handle Denver. The Grizzlies, they treated – didn't they play the Grizzlies the first round? No disrespect. I feel like they already knew they was going
to – Yeah, no, that, he was fine against the Grizzlies, but I'm with you. They knew.
Yeah,
they were moving on.
Yeah, I'm with the Grizzlies, but I don't think nobody took that as serious.
No,
or whatever.
I agree.
Like that, then
it's tough when you win game one by 51. It's tough to mentally talk yourself into this is going to be a war.
They did win game by one by 50. But don't you supposed to say in the locker room that's still only one win?
Yeah,
or one
I
loss?
Mean, you're, again, what your media talking points are and what you should say publicly are different than I think what you're actually like. I think it's human nature to be like, all right, we're good.
Yeah, yeah. So, and then I think the last series when they were just playing, who they just beat?
Minnesota.
I think they dominated both of them, and I just think Denver is a difficult matchup for them.
Denver's a difficult matchup, but I actually go back to your point. If you want to say, like, the counter to the just get a star, I think Jokic right now, to me, is the only one that I actually have faith in. He can take a mediocre team and take them close. Because, again, if game five goes a different way and they were up three possessions in the fourth quarter, but then they went, like, 10 minutes and only made two shots. But, like, that to me is kind of the difference that I have between Jokic and SGA is, like, I don't think if you just flipped Jokic and SGA that Denver still takes that thing to seven games. Like, I think OKC wins going away. But at the same time, it's like maybe we're watching the actual evolution of the game, because what I actually find interesting about the Thunder is the Thunder and the Pacers, it felt like now we've just gone completely to this threes and dunks. Well, these two teams are in the bottom 10 in number of three-pointers they take. So this isn't just a bombing. Maybe SGA is like what James Harden got sold to us as, which is the ball is always around him. He's going to get to the line. He's going to get points, but he's also going to be a playmaker and everyone else around him. Because the one thing I would always have to tip my cap to the Harden stands out there is the guys that played with him usually had some of their best years of their career. And SGA, I think, is very much in that mold. I think that's the other two things, the other things about these two teams that I actually really like. They have pure point guards. Like, maybe they don't look like pure point guards, but SGA and Haliburton are pure point guards in the sense of, like, run the offense. And everybody around SGA is having clearly some of their best seasons of their career. And on top of that, like, he's been pretty darn good when they've needed him.
No, and I think now that's the part that people who doesn't think he is great should look at. People are having their best years of him. They got to account for some. Two, he's smooth with it, but he gets off. He gets off when because I think he had, what, two 40-point games last
yes.
series or something. So he gets off. I mean, you know how much I love Anthony Edwards. And granted, the Timberwolves, to me, don't have nothing to be ashamed of. They was the seventh seed, and they continue to do it. But it's like they just look more dominant than them. And then SGA kind of looked more dominant than Anthony. Well, granted, he had a lot more pieces, but he just did.
I just think they are so much tougher to play offense against. Like, in the end, if Ant can't get into the paint, like, that takes away a huge part of his game. And the Thunder just do not let you inside the paint. And if you can't get going that way, like, they'll let you hit threes on them. They'll let you take threes. They close out really hard, but, like, they're going to make you shoot it. And to me, like, the key difference is, like, I don't know if we're, like, we would track this in football. Team speed. It just feels like Oklahoma City has so much more team speed than everyone they play. And I don't know if it's to your point about the amount of depth that they have and the guys that guys stay fresher and longer, but it's just like, it feels like when you watch them play, they are playing at a different speed than everyone else is.
And you're right. Their team speed, they're so versatile in every position. The only thing that they was a little light in the butt end was big man. They went and overpaid
Hartenstein,
Hartenstein over the, and even he doing good. And he, some games even have spot minutes, but for them, they thought it was worth it if it was going to win them a championship. It's a smart look
now.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I think that also take us back. That's why it was so hard against Denver, because their rotation of big men shuts down 90% of the lead. They wear them down, and it was like, man, everybody they put on Jokic, it was a kind of a mismatch. That was the first time ever they didn't have, like, they was trying.
But it got to the point where they were just like, I guess let's just put Caruso on him and let's see if he can rip the ball away.
Yeah. Kind of like last year the Lakers did when they kicked their butt. They had to put, what's the guy, Rudy?
They put Rui on him, Hachimura.
Yeah, you remember that?
Yeah.
So he's so hard because, like, Chek, love Chek, they grew up playing against him, but he is a kind of light in the butt. So you're not joking.
100%.
Hartenstein ain't going to have the foot speed for him. You know, then you take the boy that went to Arkansas, Jalen.
Other Williams.
He's probably the toughest one out of them all to hold somebody like, but it's still Jokic.
And it makes sense why, to your point, why it's a bad matchup, because Jokic is the type of guy, okay, if you say, we'll let you have that three at the top of the key, well, he's going to hit it. And so now when you start to take that away, then he's able to, even though he's not like the world's fastest guy, he can still beat you off the dribble if he gets you off your feet. And so he can actually get into the paint and he could actually create at that level. But I don't know, like, I just kind of, I'm starting to wonder, in the same way, I think you and I have talked about this, in the same way that you kind of see a lot of the old guard of NBA players, they kind of think Steph's a gimmick. Like, yeah, he's a great shooter, but, like, if we would have had Reggie shoot 15 threes a game, Reggie'd be like this. But it's almost like they view him as an elite shooter, but they think that's a gimmick. Well, if you take it from a basketball perspective, Steph's ability to essentially be in range as soon as he crosses half court, that changes the entire way that you defend them. It gets you completely out of sorts. You've got to extend, and so you're unable to, you've created a lot of space. I mean, I'm not trying to be hot takey, but, like, is this a situation where if you're as good at drawing fouls as SGA is, is that now a skill in the same fashion that being a deep shooter is?
Yeah, it is. I think for some reason people making a big deal out of it. I may be fan. I don't know. Somebody don't like to see it. Harden did. A lot of people did it a lot. I think with SGA is taking it to another level. I've been trying to watch the games to see if I've seen any unfairness to it. Because, you know, some people are trying to.
I think he gets fouled.
Yeah.
But what I also think is true is, I think he's trying to get fouled more than, like, in the end, I think this is how I would say the difference is. LeBron flops and can, and Jokic the same way. Like, Jokic will exaggerate contact and make it seem like he literally got hit in the head. But it always feels like they're both trying to score first. The difference with SGA is, and a lot of times when you watch these replays, you're like, man, there was contact. Like, he got fouled. But it feels like the intention that he has is not, I'm trying to score. It's that I'm trying to draw the foul. And I think that's what is frustrating to watch. George, do you agree or disagree?
So I don't disagree by any means. I 100% agree. My only like little thing with this, especially when we're talking about some of these other guys that we look at and say, oh, they probably do flop like a Jokic, like LeBron. And this just goes back to other stuff that we've seen in these playoffs pretty consistently.
Yes.
It feels like the likelihood that a more physical basketball player like that is a lot less likely to get those fouls as opposed to some of these smaller guys when, I mean, how many times, especially in that last series with the Knicks and Pacers, did we see a very different whistle for a guy like Siakam and Cat as opposed to Halliburton and Brunson?
No, I think it's true.
So that exaggeration, like, actually...
And, like, I kind of think part of Jokic's frustration in that series was they did, like, hammer him.
They were hacking him.
The problem was, like, you would see sometimes where he would take a ton of contact, get no call, and I think what that forced him to do is then he started exaggerating some of these fouls, and even when there wasn't contact, it makes you feel the same way. Like, come on, get up and just keep playing. I think, though, the thing that I'm willing to give SGA credit is he's maybe not the fastest or quickest guy, but he does seem to have insane body control.
Yes.
And it seems to me like it's different than like with Brunson. When Brunson's clearly hunting the fouls, it feels, I don't know, like with SGA, it feels like the way that he kind of angles his body, the way that he uses like the ball off the dribble. I think that's the other thing. He's a much better. I think the problem we saw with Brunson this series, Brunson's ball handling's not there, man. Like he, and I get it, they were coming after him, and it's a lot easier to handle the ball when you don't have guys all over you. But like Steph's had guys all over him for 20 years, and he can control the basketball. I think that's the same thing with SGA. Like I actually think one of the more underrated plays of the playoffs where you think he's flopping, he's on the floor in game 4 in Minnesota, he's in between, I can't remember if it was Naz Reid or whatever, but he throws the ball in between the guy's legs from the floor, right out, guy hits a 3. And it's like, I mean, it's kind of insane. Like it's insane awareness, it's insane body control, and like he didn't walk, his pivot foot stayed on the ground. Like I don't know, like there's something about the way that he moves that causes guys to either overcommit or they guess wrong. And I do think, like, at a certain point, maybe that is a skill.
No, and like you say, and his ball handling, too, keeps people at a certain angle. And like you say,
they're afraid to overcommit.
like he said, and he's getting the calls. But I know for me, the way the NBA is, first of all, I like the way it's going because it's like somebody put out like both of these teams have small TV deals, so it's not about the money. It's not about the Lakers or Knicks. Both of these teams have done hell of a job.
I can't remember the last time that we have two teams in the finals that are not in the luxury tax.
Yeah, and to be real,
I don't even know though. I mean, part of that gets completely warped by the fact that we've had LeBron and the Warriors for so long. Like, those teams were always just going to be in the tax.
For sure. And this is the thing I like about the Pacers. Although I was cheering for OG, and I think Thunder deserve to win it. Even when I watch March Madness, I think I told you, I'm a big underdog guy.
I was going to say, don't say Under Armour.
Yeah, no, I'm a Nike guy.
It's a past life. We put that life behind us.
Yeah, we put it behind. Yeah. I've been meaning to say your alma mater this all day because I got a Nike shirt like that. That's a nice Ole Miss shirt right here. I don't know if we're supposed to say that on this show, and we're
admitting it. Georgia's got a game 7.
We do have a game 7 today.
Okay, I just wore something like that in Kansas City. I'm going to send y'all the picture. Like, but it got Nike on it where Ole Miss said, and it's just.
I think that's a Nike, though, isn't it?
No.
Or is it PM?
Like just Cutter and Buck, I think.
Ah.
Yeah, and so my kids kind
of
got
very 90s of you.
Love a good gift.
Because I never go out of the black. And they're like, oh, why are you pulling up in a baby? Because they gave us these, like, navy blue jaws. So I just said, let me put these navy blue khakis on with the baby blue and that. Everybody
three
like,
shades of blue, like the Grizzlies.
Yeah, what you think you're doing here? I'm like, okay, if we lose this game, I never do it again. But
then if you win, I'm sudden that's down the rotation.
I need to keep the, you know, keep the spice up a little bit. You know, I gotta go to P Jam 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I gotta pull out some other colors. I can't just wear.
Yes.
But one thing I would tell y'all about AAU, and you know this, Jeffrey, for so long, and it is a lot of people that does dirty stuff, but when you think of dirty things, I tell people, whether it's high school, AAU, college, police officer, preacher, you're gonna have some good and some bad in any field you do,
yes.
right? And so at one point, AAU was considered people, I guess in the 90s, a lot of stuff's going on. The high school coaches couldn't handle the AAU. They created and made it seem so bad.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing I have learned and thankful about being a part of AAU is, this is why I'm going to translate this to what we're talking about. The Pacers plays just like a high-level team that win. The way you see them pressing and rotating, the way you see the pace they got, the way you see this, how Halliburton, you have the one cold point guard, pretty much can set up. And AAU have changed the game a lot, not just because of that. LeBron James, I watched him 3 years ago at an AAU event. LeBron used to make the big bulky shoes that go over your ankle because of his ankles. I saw him talking to, you know, him and some Nike people like, I want the more kids wearing my shoes. They was wearing the COVID. Well, we got to make you a low. You learn a lot. That's why you start seeing low LeBrons, even though he don't wear them in the game, because kids like to wear lows. Also, the in-season tournament was also predicated because the NBA was like, well, we only wait to the end of the year. What could get the guys excited? Well, on all levels, from babies, even adults, people act like when, you know, everybody like a pat on the back sometimes, you know, because at first the players like, what? Well, now people say it's pretty fun that they're doing the end. So I say all that to say that even though the bad or whatever happened, it's a lot of inspiration. That's why Nike and these shoe companies put so much into AAU, is because this is like the biggest display at an early age that, you know, they get to see. And the Pacers to me is high level. I ain't gonna lie to you. I love the way they play. And I think the world loves it. I think that's why they may have a chance to win it all.
They've definitely been the most fun team of the postseason. If you've just been watching, like if you have no dog in the fight, like they are much more enjoyable to watch. All right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, Jason Munns joins the program. Let's talk some Tiger basketball with him. Also, he's been covering a regional down in Hattiesburg, so we'll maybe get some thoughts on that from him as well. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
FM, ESPN.
Jason Munns is the Tiger basketball beat writer, but this week for the Gannett Sports Network, he's covering the Hattiesburg Regional, another game seven. When is that first pitch? Eight?
Don't remind me, Jeffrey, but it's 8:06, as a matter of fact, to be precise.
You've not caught a break there because I feel like every game's gone about as long as it could have. Just
tell me about it.
Just checking in on that.
Yeah. Last night, their 17-6 win over Miami, Southern Miss's 17-6 win over Miami, was the Golden Eagles' second game of the day, and it lasted every bit of 3 hours and 55 minutes. With reviews, lots of runs, plenty of pitching changes, injury timeouts, multiple injury timeouts. So, and then we get to do it again tonight, 8:06.
Okay, I forgot to ask you, what were you listening to?
Oh, this is Feed the Tree by Belly.
Okay, this was what we were supposed to have last week, and then I mistakenly forgot to send it to George. So, or maybe 2 weeks ago, because I think last week was Memorial Day, so we didn't have you. All right, want to get to a little – well, I'll talk with you a little bit about the regional here in just a moment. But I think we wanted to go back to – because I know you had been trying to sort it out on Twitter last week, but we got the news that the AAC – and your clarification was this was not a league decision. It was voted by the athletic directors that they made the decision next year's basketball tournament – is going to be in Birmingham, men's and women's, and then the following two seasons, it will be in Tampa, not at the Lightning Arena, but at the Yuengling Center Arena?
Center,
which is USF's arena that it looks like a place that smells like chlorine. I don't know if that's true or not, but it's going to be there as well.
It was built as an airplane hangar. And that's
that checks out. That yep. checks out. I guess the question that I have is there anything to read into the decision that none of these tournaments is going to be in Memphis?
I don't think so. I mean, I know there's, people automatically jump to the conclusion that, well, the reason why the tournament isn't being held in Memphis in any of the next 3 years is because Memphis isn't going to be in the American Conference for each of the next three seasons, that they will eventually leave. Probably, this is what people are thinking. Some people are thinking that before the end of the next three tournaments, they will desert the AAC, and therefore the AAC did not award them any of the upcoming tournaments. And I get. Trust me, I understand the logic in that, but I genuinely do not believe that is reality.
Well, I mean, USF doesn't want to be in the league either. Like, you know what exactly. I mean? Like, it's tough for me to sit there and say that this would apply to Memphis and not USF, who I think has the same aspirations.
Exactly. I mean, that's 100%. That certainly is one of the things that immediately I would respond to anybody who said, but Memphis is trying to get out and therefore they're holding it against them and all this other stuff. USF's doing the exact same thing. So that kind of throws that theory out the window. But what it boils down to is, yes, number one, this was not a league decision. This was the league's athletic directors making the decision. Of course, don't get me wrong. Of course, I'm sure Tim Pernetti was in the room. He had his influence. He had his say. He was part of the decision-making process. I would feel certain about that. But like in terms of the vote, it was only up to the athletic directors. Tim Pernetti did not have a vote, nor did anyone else who works for the league. Then the other part of it is that Memphis only bid for the men's tournament.
Yeah, to me, I was going to ask for a point of clarification, because it seems like to me that's a bigger point than anything else that we could speculate about.
Yes, they only put in a bid to host the men's tournament, not both men's and women's. And it's, you know, it's been, I mean, since I've been on the beat, the American has hosted the men's and the women's at the same place, the men's and the women's conference tournament at the same place. And there's only a small overlap. See, I think that's where it really gets people, you know, hear that Memphis didn't bid on the women's tournament. They only bid on the men's, and they think to themselves, well, why not? Like, if it's obvious that the league wants to keep them at the same, in the same place, then why wouldn't Memphis do that, knowing that they probably wouldn't get it if they don't? Well, you got to, you know, like,
you got 41 Grizzlies games you got to fit into a schedule.
That's exactly right. The men's and the women's only overlap on the last day of the women's and the first day of the men's. And so it's not just 4 or 5 days. It's like closer to 9 or 10 days total. And the FedEx Forum just doesn't have that luxury of giving itself up during basketball season to just the Tigers or just the American Conference for that long of a stretch. And, you know, I've seen people say, well, why can't the men play at FedEx Forum and the women play at the Lander Center or El Morón Fieldhouse or somewhere else? And, you know, maybe that's a somewhat valid point, but I don't think that is the preference either. I think, you know, it's been at Dickies Arena, the same venue for the last however many years, and I think they want to keep it that way. They want to keep it in one central location as best they can. And so that's the real reason why Memphis does not have the American tournament for the next three seasons.
Is this a better setup than just playing it at Dickies?
Now, that is a good question. I mean, so at the very least, the way you have it now, the biggest difference to me at the very least now is that you're in a city. You're in a city with a school that's a member of the conference, whereas in Fort Worth, there is no member school like in that city. There are those that were around Fort Worth. So you had SMU, you've got North Texas, that are right there in that metroplex, but there's nobody in Fort Worth that's part of the league. Whereas now you've got, you know, it's a true, you know, you're in a city where one of your member institutions is. And Tim Pernetti told me when I talked to him about this, I think it was ironically enough in Birmingham before the Memphis game in Birmingham earlier this year. And, you know, he one of the things that he said was that was going to be a big deciding factor was that they were hoping to pick a city that was going to support the conference tournament in, you know, the ways you support a conference tournament all
buying
year,
tickets
year round. Yeah, right. There's that, but also year round, like not just sort of treating it, you know, not just forgetting about it until, you know, for like 3 weeks out of a year, 2 weeks out of a year, they wanted a place that was going to really invest in it and care for it and love it and nurture it and all those things. I'm sure it's also fiscally beneficial somehow.
Well, I mean, I figured a lot of it has the idea that they want to be able to host men's and women's in the same thing. I figured that cut down on travel costs.
Yeah. You know, Conference USA used to have its men's and women's tournament in Birmingham, and they played the men at Legacy Arena. I may have them mixed up, but one was at Legacy and one was at Bartow.
Yeah.
This year in Birmingham with the American, it's all at Legacy, which is going to be interesting because I remember when I covered it, Conference USA tournaments there, the end zones are as deep and cavernous as any venue there is. And that gave some players issues with depth perception. So, you know, that's going to be fun to keep an eye on this next March. But it's Birmingham. It's Tampa then, 2 years after that. And I mean, you know, that one is the one that's kind of like, I mean, like that's more expensive for fans to travel to.
Yeah.
It's further away certainly than Fort Worth for most people. That one's the one that's kind of like, that's a little interesting, but, I think, you know, if it's not going to be Memphis, I think certainly Memphis fans are okay with it being in Birmingham.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the other thing I was thinking about is now there's probably more teams in the Eastern time zone, right? Like now in the West, you've got Tulsa, North Texas, or like in the Central time zone, so you'd have Tulsa, North Texas, Memphis, UAB, Tulane.
Right.
Am I missing it? Rice.
UTSA.
So I guess it's half and half, right?
Yeah. But it does feel like before, but maybe not. I mean, I guess you just replace Houston and Rice and you replace SMU and UTSA. I guess it feels like there's a difference, but maybe there's not.
All right, then the other thing that you've written about beyond writing just about baseball is what are the roster holdups? And I guess when fans look at it, you seem okay. Feels pretty good on the guard and the perimeter front, but it seems to be most of the questions are, well, what are we doing about the front court? And I guess the first question that I would have for you is this all pointing towards the Tigers are really banking on Dane Danger being eligible?
I do think they are still hopeful. I don't think that the reason why they are in the situation that they are, that the roster is what it is right now from a front court perspective, is because they're necessarily banking on getting Dane Danger back. I think the hope that they'll get him back is part of it, but I also think it's just how it worked out this offseason, like from a variety of fronts. You know, really good big men are scarce. And expensive.
I was about to say, well. I would imagine because they're scarce, they would also be expensive.
Yeah, and so, you know, you got to take those into consideration along with the fact that, like, what big man wants to come into a situation where, you know, they're the starter now, but what if Dane Danger gets his waiver, then what happens? So, like, it has kind of created this little situation where you've got one player currently on your roster that has a listed height of over 6'8". And, you know, that's, I know they're working on it. Like, and I do believe that they are going to get at least one and probably multiple, one way or another, additions to the front court. I'm not saying they're going to be all conference guys by any stretch of the imagination, but I don't believe that they're only going to go into the season with one guy over 6'8". But it is now June, and it's like, it does make you wonder, like, you hear things, you know, I wrote this a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, that Memphis was in a really, really good spot. I think the way I phrased it was an extremely good spot with the Maryland transfer forward.
Yeah, I've always forgotten his name.
Yeah, Tafara Gapari. And, you know, like they were in a really good spot with him when he left campus. And here we are, whatever it is, a week and a half, 2 weeks later, and he still isn't committed to Memphis or anyone else for that matter. And so it's just like something seems a little weird on that front, although I think we're trending in the right direction, or not we, but Memphis, I think, is trending in the right direction on that front. But so, yeah, I'm still confident that Memphis is going to get it all sorted out. It just seems to be taking a little while longer than I think anybody would like it to.
Do you think, like, what's the likelihood that we're going to get to the start of the season next year and the primary concern is just going to be the lack of depth in the front court?
I think that's extremely likely.
Yeah.
That will be the biggest question mark. Again, not that Aaron Bradshaw is going to be the only big on the roster. I'm not saying that. I think they're going to make additions. And look, Dane Dange's situation is not resolved yet. Like there's even if it's a sliver of hope, there's still hope within the program that he will play next season for Memphis. Again, I think it's only a sliver of hope, but there's still some hope there. But it's not like, I'm not saying that I think they're going to go, that we're going to get to the start of the season and Aaron Bradshaw is going to be the only big on the roster. But yes, I think they're in a good position with their guards and wings. But the front court is going to be the biggest question mark unless something happens that comes out of nowhere. That's going to be the biggest question mark. It's going to be the front court and the depth there. But, we're still, while it is June, the season doesn't start until November. So Penny has shown time and time again that, if he's got a day left, he can still make something happen.
Or sometimes not even that. I mean, Naquan was added at Christmas.
That's right. That's right. Yes. We can get to midseason and he'll pull a rabbit out of his hat. I that's why I don't ever get really too bent out of shape about the roster, the way a lot of people do, because it's like there's just never really been a situation where Penny has, to me, he's earned the benefit of the doubt. Like, he'll get it done. And maybe there's going to come a time where he doesn't, but he hasn't yet. That hasn't happened yet. And so, to me, until that happens, he's earned the benefit of the doubt.
All right, wrapping up here with Jason Munns, who's also down in Hattiesburg covering the Hattiesburg Regional. Again, he will be covering Miami and Southern Miss. 8:06 first pitch, is that what you said tonight?
That'll be
one of the late ones. I will say this. I know you've been covering one regional, and when you cover one, you're just kind of focused on that more so. It's been a pretty chaotic opening weekend of college baseball for the postseason, and it's been fun. But like I was going to say, do you have any larger take of what we're actually watching, which is it doesn't really feel like just name brands. Texas is gone. Vandy's gone. I think it's half of the top eight seeds are gone, and we've been seeing a lot of upsets. Do you have any theory as to what we're watching?
I mean, this is boring, but, you know, when you're around baseball, it really is.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.